Okay, it's time for a Q&A episode. It's Tuesday, so every Thursday we've got the four things, and then y'all send questions and pull them together, try to come here and answer some of them. And special treat, Bobo's back for the Q&A. Okay, in full transparency, we just recorded our episode that aired, like if you're listening to this on Tuesday, he was on Thursday's episode. But I asked him, I already had the questions pulled for the Q&A because I don't know, right now when people are listening to this, Bobo, I may or may not be in Haiti. Like I'm supposed to be in Haiti. So that's why I'm recording this early. And I was just going to do the Q&A by myself, but I had asked Bobo like, hey, maybe you could read the questions to me because it's just more fun to like have somebody else help and not do it by myself. But yeah, this will air on the Tuesday that I'm supposed to be in Haiti. But Bobo has also been here for all the Haiti drama because I've been on phone calls like, should we go? I'm, you know, texting with the former prime minister. He's like, no, you should have come. But Mary and I are like talking to other people that say that it's fine. So honestly, by the time this airs, I don't know where I'm going to be. Nashville, Haiti, Blackberry Farm, maybe... Maybe we just said the Opry Water Park. I don't know. Feel like I don't know what I'm going to be doing. Okay, so we'll get into question number one, which is a question from Elizabeth. Bubba's going to read it.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Zorn. This past May, I studied abroad in Cambodia. Now back and reflecting on the trip, I feel as God is calling me to do more. One thing that I really want to help with is building the library in the schools that we worked with. Children are many times left without books to read while learning English and Chinese. My question is, I know that you have done a lot of fundraising, so what is the key to good fundraising? I really want to get money to help start classroom libraries or growing their libraries, but I don't know where to start. Any advice?
Okay, I feel like this is like a really... I feel like it's a hard question. And while, yes, I have done some fundraising, I'm nowhere near an expert. I think it's just you got to just figure out your goal and go for it and probably try not to set too lofty of a goal. That way you can feel like get a goal that you think is attainable. And then there's some accomplishment. You got, you know, a notch under your belt where you're like, okay, look what we were able to do here. Now let's try to up it. And each time up your goal a little bit more. So I think it's great that you want to help collect books for a library there. Obviously, if it's a need in Cambodia, it's amazing. And I love that it's been put on your heart to do it, but, come up with a goal and then utilize your talents. What do you have that you could put out there to help fundraise? Like, I don't know, maybe you make an amazing banana bread, you know, right?
Yeah.
Or, carrot cake for Cambodia.
Ooh, nice. I mean, I like it.
I would buy like that. It. Like you'd chocolate chip cookies or lemon pie for the library. I don't know. Maybe you're not a baker, so this isn't pertaining to you, but you see where I'm going. Like sometimes you can find something you're really good at and then see if you can sell it to your family and friends or your church group or people that you know. And people want to be a part of something. They want to support it. And I don't think they're expecting you to go do something like super crazy, but if you do start small, who knows? It could turn into something super crazy and amazing. And it all started with you selling your carrot cake for Cambodia. But maybe you have another strength or another thing, like you could make bracelets or jewelry or cute little things, or you could just, you're good at rallying people together to say, hey, look, here's the deal. Like I present to them exactly what you're trying to do. And I don't know if you're wanting to buy the books here and then you ship them to Cambodia, or if you're sending the money to Cambodia and there's ways to buy books there. You have to take that into consideration, because if you're collecting a lot of books, there's going to be shipping and customs and all the things to take in there, unless you might be going back and you can transport them in luggage that you're going to be checking. But be thinking about that. I mean, people are going to want to know. I feel like there's people in your community that want to get involved. You just got to figure out who they are and use your friends and family as word of mouth and believe in yourself. That's the number one thing you can do, is believe in yourself. And then something my husband said to me the other day, and now we've been talking about it even on the Bobby Bone Show, because Bobby said he loves this saying. And I'm like, what? I've never heard of it until my husband said it to me. And now like it's everybody's favorite saying. And you know, I was overwhelmed by something I was working on. And my husband was like, well, how do you eat an elephant? And I was like, I don't eat elephants. And he said, Amy, how do you eat an elephant? And I said, how? And he said, one bite at a time. So
that's good.
Yeah. Cause like, I'm sure it's overwhelming taking on your first little, you know, fundraising endeavor, trying to get books for these classroom libraries. But if it seems like something really cool and that you want to do, it probably is, and you should totally go after it, but just do it one bite at a time.
Love it.
Do you have any advice for that, Bobo?
I agree with you. Starting small. I mean, seriously, you can't expect to change a ton of things all at once. It's just starting a little bit at a time and
right.
set a small and goal saying, and build upon that.
We're not implying don't reach for the stars or ask for the moon, but by any means, but you want to go into it like feeling good about it. You want your first thing to, I think it's important to set yourself up for success because yeah, you don't want to like have this crazy goal and then you don't get to it. And then you feel defeated and deflated and you're like, well, this is a bummer. And now you're suddenly not interested in helping out. Right. I mean, it just kind of could maybe take from some of that. But again, I think it's awesome. It's on your heart, Elizabeth. And keep us posted. Let us know how it goes. Shoot.
Please.
I'll donate a book. Holla.
Boom.
Holla at your girl. Okay. Next question is from Amy.
Hi, Amy. I really enjoy your podcast and the Bobby Bones Show podcast. My family is trying to eat more natural food, less or no processed food, etc. And recently tried kombucha at the farmer's market. I think we may incorporate it into our morning. Just wondering if you have a podcast that addressed it, good, bad, or indifferent. It's kind of growing on me and wondering if it's worth the hype. Thanks.
I don't know that I've dedicated like a actual thing to kombucha, but I do drink it from time to time. But Bobo is like the health expert. I know it's good for the gut.
Yeah. And I mean, the gut is your second brain. So mm-hmm. Anything you can do to promote gut health, you should definitely do. And it's just like the probiotics or anything else you're doing, fermented foods, that you're good to basically, you want to build a good, healthy bacteria in your gut. So I wouldn't say, you know, slam kombucha left and right, but I do think that.
Well, because some, especially that you buy at the store, are really high in sugar. Like you got to check that sugar label.
Yeah, that's a big thing you've got to look at. Especially when you talk about you wanting to improve your processed foods and eating more clean type foods. Just watch for these added sugars that a lot of companies slide in to make it taste better for us.
Right. But there are like, depending on the flavor, like one flavor might have, I've noticed like 12 grams of sugar. But if you go to like a cranberry one, it's like 2 grams, which right. is, you know, and then the bottle, sometimes it's tricky because you think you're drinking one bottle, but check the serving size because it'll be like 2 servings. So if you get that 12 grammer, that's really 24 if you do the math. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of sugar.
It's a lot of sugar. But yes, kombucha is good. And you can maybe learn. It would be super fun. I've always been jealous of people that can make their own kombucha. Did you know you could order like a Scooby or whatever? What's that thing called that floats at the bottom of the... It's what creates the bacteria. I think it's called a Scooby.
Scooby? I'm not sure.
And you can order them online and then you get your own Scooby. And if I'm saying this wrong, and I've done this before, I think when I've talked about Scoobies and people corrected me, and you grow it in your kitchen, you just grow it yourself. But I'm too scared to do that.
Yeah. Still awesome though.
Yeah. Okay. Next question.
It's from Kaylin. Hey, Amy, I love listening to your podcast while I run because the time passes so quickly. My question is about the Culligan water system you have installed. Just wondering if you like it and if you can tell a difference. You had mentioned that it would be good for your skin, hair, and drinking as well. I would love to hear your thoughts on it. Keep being you.
Okay. Well, now that I've lived with it for a little bit, yes, I can give an official review that I'm obsessed. I wanted it so bad going into it because I had heard on multiple podcasts, read all these things about how a water filtration, like when you're showering, all the different things. And Boba and I were talking about this earlier about how your skin is your largest organ. So you're absorbing everything, all that water that you come in contact with. And so I will say, from what I can tell on the outside, my skin is softer and less dry. My shower door, for that matter, doesn't have like spots all over it. All it stays like so clean, which that's just like an added bonus. But I feel like, yes, my hair is a little bit softer. The taste of my drinking water that comes out of my kitchen sink, right out of my kitchen sink, tastes so good.
Yeah.
I didn't really, awesome. I mean, I can taste the difference. And I didn't really think, I was kind of like, oh, I'm not really going to notice. But it is an investment. While I use Culligan and I have an endorsement deal with Culligan, and this isn't a commercial by any means, I just literally am a fan of however you can get it. You know, some people, my friend Gracie texted me the other day and she might be going through somebody different, not even Culligan. And she's like, do you think I should do it? And I'm like, yes, do it. Now, obviously I'm going to give Culligan a shout out and they did an amazing job and I'm super thankful for it. And I do realize that it's an investment. Like it's not cheap to put in. But I don't know that I've bought a bottle of water since then. Cause I fill up bottles of water at my house. So I save money there. And then my overall health, I feel like investing in your health, I feel like when you're doing that, I'm saving money down the line.
Right. I agree. And I mean, I think people consider like, oh, I'm just showering and it washes right off, or I'm just putting it in my mouth to brush my teeth, it goes away. But those are two big places of absorption in your body or on your body. So whatever's in that water, you're absorbing parts of that. And that's just not, I don't know, it's not clean.
Right.
Hate to say it that way, but it's just not.
There's like so much stuff in there.
But what you were saying with the cost, you can buy, even if your kitchen sink, you bought a single unit for your kitchen sink. And I don't know if Culligan offers that or who.
I think so, maybe.
Just so the water you're rinsing your foods off with is still coming through a filtration system. So you're getting high quality water that you're putting on your vegetables and stuff before you cook them or before you eat them.
Yeah. You don't have to go
Whole home. Right. You're right. But just your kitchen sink where your foods are and where you might drink water every now and then out of it. Just so you've got at least the main place that you're ingesting foods, water, things like that is, or your coffee pot water.
Right.
That you're heating up. Like at least there you're getting a place to have a filtration system and good quality water.
Yeah. So. Love it. Okay, next question.
Next question's from Nina. Hi, Amy. Thank you so much for being such an We're starting Nina over again. Delete that out. Jeez, I can't.
We're not deleting it. Bobo went to college. Shout out your college, Bobo. Yeah,
UAB, University of Alabama, Birmingham.
He played football there.
Yeah, and then I went and got another 2.5 years of education and still can't read. Big math and science guy.
Okay.
From Nina. Hi, Amy. Thank you so much for being such an advocate for a healthy lifestyle. Definitely an inspiration for me. I'm trying to up my water intake, and I was curious if you have a trick product that you use to keep track of your consumption.
Okay. I personally like to, it's so daunting when I think about how much water I try to consume a day. I mean, Bobo, do you have how many ounces of water people should drink every day? I know it varies, but I mean, okay, so Erin, my trainer, right, she wants me drinking like 100 ounces of water a day.
Yeah.
Especially if I've worked out, maybe even more. And it's like, oh my gosh. And now I'm trying to eat all this protein every day. Like it's a lot to keep up with. I'm like, okay, people. But sometimes water, I'm really good about getting in. I feel like I'm strong early on. Like the first thing I do when I get out of bed is I chug 20 ounces of water, two probiotics, 20 ounces of water.
Boom.
I'm on it. Yeah. Right. And it feels so good. And then I get into the show and I sit down and I'm working and I'm cranking out and I'm talking for almost 5 hours.
Right.
And so, I mean, I take a swig of water here and there, but I already have to pee enough as it is. And so I'm looking for every song break. Like Bobby, because we work every commercial break we're working. Song breaks are the only ones where we really can't work. But sometimes there's always a little something going on. And I'm like staring at Bobby, like looking at him begging. I'm like a student in class. I'm like, do I have time to run to the bathroom? So I really, then I go that 5 hours trying not to drink a lot of water so I don't have to pee. And then I feel totally behind for the day. Ugh. And it's the worst. So I feel like I start strong, but then my tips for getting it in is I really love taking like 8 ounce shots of water. I feel like I just down it back. Like I,
it's actually a good one.
I will fill up. I have one of those ridiculous water bottles that's like QFIT, like QUIFIT or QIU. Mm-hmm. It's embarrassing. It's this massive jug and it has the times on it and it says, you know, 7 a.m., good morning, 8 a.m. And as you drink it, it has, you can do it. Keep up the work.
Almost there.
You're beautiful. Like chug, chug, chug. Like it's, and it's so big. When I ordered it, I thought it was a good idea and I would carry it around, but it's embarrassing. I'm not carrying it.
Yeah.
It's, but I will fill it up and keep it on my counter at home. And then I'll pour my 8 ounce shots and I'll just toss it back. And that helps me get through it a lot faster is dividing it up into little shots. So do you have any water consumption tips or how many ounces you think people should get?
I shoot for a gallon a day.
Well, how many ounces is that?
124, 128. Okay. Yeah.
See, you are smart.
Yeah. So with that though, we get so caught up in that we're hungry, but a lot of times it's we're thirsty. 25% of our water source that we consume, our water consumption comes from foods. So if you get to a point where your brain is realizing that me telling this dude he's thirsty is not getting me water, I'm going to tell him he's hungry and he'll eat food because he always eats food.
Right.
So then you go to eat food when really you were just thirsty. Mm-hmm. So that's a big place. I try to like, whenever I have random hunger that is out of nowhere or it's not following my normal routine of eating, I drink a bottle of water and then see, okay, am I hungry?
Right.
Like, am I hungry 30 minutes later? And if I am, then I'll listen to my body and eat. The other thing I try to do is at night when I'm snacking or if I want to eat something late and it's outside my fasting window, I'll chug 2 bottles of water and I guarantee you won't be hungry. Like it helps a lot because a lot of that late night snacking is just dehydration from the day.
Oh.
So yeah, I try to drink a lot on the back end. And that's how I usually, if I haven't already gotten a gallon in, that later evening.
Like for my son, I kind of have to cut off his drinking water so he doesn't wet the bed.
Right.
But like for me, you know, we've talked a lot about sleep quality. And Bobo, if you didn't hear his episode on Thursday with me where he was one of the things, like a Q&A with Bobo, we talked about sleep and, you know, quantity, quality. Like I get up and if I drink water, I don't know, is there a certain cutoff time? Because I get up and pee probably 3 times in the middle of the night and that's got to be disrupting my sleep, right?
It definitely is. Yeah. Definitely
right?
Is. Yeah. So,
I mean, you can't win. I have to drink all this water. There's only so many hours.
All
in
these
the day.
Hours.
I have to sleep.
What am I supposed to do?
Wear a diaper.
Yeah. Just put a catheter in. No. Well, I think that's person to person when you should cut that off. You definitely should avoid waking up 3 times in your sleep. But
I got to figure that out.
I would definitely maybe up your 20 ounces that you normally drink in the morning to 30.
Right. Start getting like, it in earlier.
It's like we talked about a minute ago when you were addressing the...
how do you eat an elephant?
How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So increase that 20 ounces to 25 or 30.
Okay, so more bites
slowly
early.
Like training your bladder to like last, you know, longer than an hour before you're about to, you know.
That's a good
have
one.
To pee yourself.
Look at you, Bubba. Okay, next question. This will be our last one.
From Abigail. Hi, Amy. I've listened to every episode of your podcast, including The Fifth Thing. My question is career related. If there was one thing that you've learned in your career that you wished you knew from the beginning, what would it be?
I think that I wish I knew in the beginning that you don't have to have it all figured out to like go for something or to do it or, you know, I think or trust that everybody else around you has everything figured out and you're like, how did they do it? And how they did it is they just went for it. It's almost like that fake it till you make it mentality. I wish I had adopted that sooner. Mm-hmm. I think I was too scared sometimes because I didn't realize that's what people were doing.
Yeah.
And so I think that's something that you need to know, because you, whatever you have going on in your career, I don't know what you do. But I, you know, if there's different goals that you have, don't be scared to go after those because you don't feel like you'll be able to do it. Like, just do it and you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree. I mean, and two, we're so caught up in the Instagram world of what it looks like everyone else has figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And you in your own personal life, I do it too. You're like, golly, why I'm struggling with this, or I'm dealing with this, or I can't get this right. Why does everybody else seem to have it all together? No one has it together. And I remind myself that the more I know, or the more I have it figured out, the less I have it figured out.
Right. And I think that it took us, we're both, I mean, how old are you, Bobo?
32,
and I'm 38. Like, that's something I did not know in my 20s.
Not a chance.
You literally think, and you're in Abigail too, I don't know your age, but early in my career, and when you're in your 20s, you just think like 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, like, they're so adult and they have it all figured out. And like, once you get there, you're like, what?
Just as clueless.
It's still the same, but you've gotten wiser in right. how you deal with it. And it's that, exactly. Okay, well, if this is how it is, then we're all just going for it and doing it and figuring it out as we go and mm-hmm. supporting each other. And it ends up being okay.
Yeah.
Like, and also that failing is okay. Like, I'm sure if you listen to the Bobby Bones Show, you know that Bobby's all about that all the time. I mean, he even wrote a book about it, Fail Until You Don't. Like, that you're not going to do anything really cool unless you try. And guess what? If you try, you might fail, but that's okay. You're only going to grow from it.
Yeah.
Ooh, what's that muscle analogy? Like, when you're working out, you're Bobby's looking at me like, I don't know. No. Follow me, because you know about the body.
Okay, yeah.
But like, when you lift weights, you are breaking down the muscle.
Correct.
Or you're tearing it
yeah.
or something. And then it builds back up to something awesome.
Greater, yeah.
Greater. So like, when you're out there trying things, you might be breaking some stuff, tearing some stuff down while you're trying to figure it out, but you're going to come back stronger.
Exactly.
See, like that analogy?
Boom. I think my big thing is too, you learn more through your failures than you do through your victories, because sometimes your victories just happen by chance and you didn't really learn anything. It just worked out that way. But your failures, you're actually able to like look at those things and reflect on yourself and on the situation, and actually can take from that and learn and grow more than in your victories. So I like relish the failures and the shortcomings and the mess ups and mistakes, because that's really where you learn.
Preach. Okay. Bobo, since you joined us for this, and I don't know if I've ever asked you this when you've come on the podcast before, but before we wrap today, do you want to share quickly just four things that you're grateful for?
Yeah.
Like, if you had your own four things tote, which Bobo wears this like crossbody bag. It's very hip and in style. He keeps telling me that it's going to make its way to Nashville. Has it?
Yeah. It's coming around.
It's like Louis Vuitton.
If we had more people looking at me, they'd be like, ooh, I should have one of those on, because Bobo's wearing it.
I'm sure it is cool. Bobo hangs out with really cool people, so I'm sure it's cool. But
they're cool because they hang out with me.
That's true. Very true. But so let's say you had your own four things crossbody tote bag.
Yeah.
What would the four things be on there that you're grateful for?
My mom, she would be at the top. Because okay. She crushed
it. I actually, now I kind of want to make you a four things tote for you to carry around. And I definitely want to make it now that the first thing is your mom.
Yeah. Okay. First thing's my mom. Second thing would be my dog, but I'd probably put Drake. I don't really know how it would look on there because his name is Drake.
But people might think you're talking about Drake the rapper.
So I also need to put like, can I put more than one word on a line?
Well, yeah. Drake the dog.
Drake, my dog.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I'm thinking.
My dog, Drake. Yeah.
I could just put my dog.
My mom, my dog.
I could just put my mom, my dog.
My car. What else you got?
My house. All right. We good, right?
No. Okay. Your mom and your dog, which Bobo's dog, if you follow Adam on Instagram. He's at Adam Bobo. Yeah. And his dog is a Frenchie and is so cute.
He's cute. He's a good little dude. Golly.
Third thing. It doesn't have to be serious.
Yeah, but I get like when I start coffee. Thinking about things, I have like a gratitude journal.
Oh.
It's really.
We want to make a four things gratitude journal. Do you think that's a good idea?
I think, and we can even have a whole four thing on this, that there's actual health, like physical health and emotional mental benefits to like writing down.
Yes.
Four things or three to four, would make it four
we're
things.
We're doing four. We would have
that
a four
you're grateful
journal.
For every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and if you do that and create that like consistency, I know this is getting off topic, but it actually is beneficial. So like,
that's why we want to make one. But we should have you on and you could talk about.
Oh, there's so many benefits to it.
Yeah. Okay.
You talk about you're starting your day off good. So.
Third thing.
Oh, do I kind of got to say my health? I feel like I do.
Yeah, say it.
Health. Like okay. I'm very grateful for my health. Sports.
Okay.
Sports.
Like
probably.
Any sports or football?
I love all sports, but football I love. There's so many things I'm grateful for that I am passionate about. And I'd have to work. If I was making a tote, the last two I would really have to think on.
Okay.
Because if I have a tote, I'm actually going to use it. I don't know that I'll
like
wear it.
First,
I'll
well,
use
you
it.
You would be our first man to have a tote, but.
Oh,
there's some guys that have them.
I mean, I would use the tote. I don't know that I would wear the tote. Mm-hmm. I would use it, wear it. It would get in the way of my crossbody.
It could be Drake's tote.
Yeah,
there you could go. Put all his toys and
see. There
treats.
You go. And whenever I travel with him, I could put all his stuff in it. Right now, I use my UAB football bag. So
that's four from things tote 12 would look years a lot ago. Cuter. But we could actually make the tote for Drake, and it would be like what he's thankful for, and it's like Bobo. My dad, Bobo, long walks. Or does he not like, oh no, water sprinklers.
Oh, he loves that water hose. Oh my God.
Yeah, water,
spraying water of any kind.
Uh-huh.
Toys.
Yeah, toys, chew toys.
Yeah, butt scratches.
That would look so cute, right?
Yeah, that's what we should do.
Okay, we're making him one. We'll make Drake one. That makes more sense. And then also, Bobo, I think I told you to check out his Instagram to see Drake, but just you should follow him too. He has a lot of wisdom up there. He has not just health and wellness stuff, but just you're very in tune and thoughtful and wise beyond the health world. It's like you've done a lot of posts that have touched me. When you mentioned your mom, it made me think of that. Like on Mother's Day, you have certain posts. Even on Father's Day, you have certain posts because you've lost your dad.
Mm-hmm.
But you're very in tune with what people might be feeling on particular days. And you speak words to people to encourage them. And I don't know. I just think that that's really cool. Like you have lots of layers, Bobo.
Yeah. Don't mind the selfies that pop up every now and then.
And the occasional selfie.
Yeah,
so
you know, whatever.
Okay. Well, thank you for doing the Q&A. If I'm in Haiti right now while you're listening to this, I hope I make it back.
Oh, she's coming back.
I'll go ahead and put in your tote order before.
Yeah, let's get that tote order done.
Because if Mary and I are going together, so if like I don't make it, she's probably going to make it.
We're definitely not. The tote will not happen. Tote's got to be
the end of four things totes. And Pimp and Joy will live on because I think... Well, Bobby will take that on full time and listeners will keep it alive, maybe. I don't know.
Who's going to do the podcast? I'll just have to step right in.
Yes, you were talking about maybe doing a podcast. Yeah, Four Things with Bobo.
Four Things with Bobo in memory of Amy Brown.
Rest in peace. This is going to be really bad if I actually do die because this is going to air no matter what.
Oh, that's true. Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Bye.
Awkward. Bye.